This morning, we tried to think of how that the Lord wants us to purposefully stop and listen to Him so that we know His heart and turn our attention and our surrender, our thinking and way of life to Him, to what He wants rather than what we want. Because that's the problem, isn't it? What we want, we're influenced by the world. We can even be influenced by Satan. And that pulls us this way. And God says, that's not what I want. Follow me. Do my will. Live my purpose. And so as we think of that again this evening, and this mission's emphasis, the Great Commission passages, Matthew 28. I want you to turn there with me to Matthew chapter 28. Let's consider this passage one more time. I know you've heard it, many of you, multiple times. But God will speak to us each and every time if our hearts are listening. Matthew chapter 28, the last chapter of the book of Matthew. And I want to begin reading verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I want to look at who Jesus was speaking to. Let's look verse 16 again. The 11 disciples. These men are named in Scripture, aren't they? Now, there was 12 that Jesus... 12. There were 12 men that Jesus chose, weren't there? Anybody be able to name the 12 disciples? Can anybody do that? All right, let's name the one that's missing, because now it says the 11. Who is missing of the 12 apostles? Judas. Why? He betrayed the Lord, and he went out and hung himself, didn't he? What a horrible, horrible reality in his life. Okay, it's the other 11 now. Okay, so there's the 11 apostles. And they went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Amen. That's good. They did what the Lord said when He said to do it. They showed up where they're supposed to be. You came back again tonight because the pastor said, we're going to have our service and the missionary is going to be here. And we be here at 6. You came. The stuff didn't work like we're planning on, but you're here. Faithful, responsible, obedient people. Amen. These 11 obeyed the Lord, showed up where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there. You can work with people that show up. I don't know if any of you guys have or any of you folk have a business or something like, where you have to depend on people to show up and do. It's a major problem throughout our nation, not only here in the United States, but across the world. Having dependable people to show up is a major issue. Good start. We're doing good tonight. You're here. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing. But these 11 faithful men, when they saw Him, when they saw the Lord, they worshiped Him. Those next three words. Read them out really loud. Some of who? of the apostles? When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some of these faithful, dependable, responsible followers of the Lord, chosen by him to take the gospel to the world, some of them doubted. Now, it doesn't tell us about their doubts. We can read through the Gospels, though, can't we? And which is the one that all is the famous doubter? Thomas. What was it? What did he doubt? Do you remember, Levi? Do you know what Thomas's doubt was? Does anybody else remember? What was Thomas's doubt? Unless I put my fingers in those nail holes in his hand and put my hand into that wound in his side, I won't believe that he's alive. And next week, what happened? Thomas was there because he didn't come to church that night. He was doubting. But he was there the next Sunday night, and Jesus was there. "Come here, Thomas. Put your fingers in these nail holes. Put your hand in my side. See that it's me. I'm alive." What did Thomas do? He fell to his knees and said, "My Lord and my God, I'm sorry." Which one of us have seen someone get out of the grave lately? It was a hard thing. These men were totally their Messiah. They killed him. All the mixed emotions that these disciples were living through. And as the different ones saw him and spoke with him and ate with him, their minds were blown away. He's alive. He really is alive. So now they've come to this mountain after these days of seeing the Lord alive again. But some of them arrive worshiping when they see him, and some of them still filled with doubts. I don't know what their doubts are at this moment. But you can't worship and doubt. No. Oh, Pastor, these missionaries over all these years. Some of them show up, some of them don't. Some of them we don't see for decades. There's all kinds of situations. And we can wonder, it's a lot of money we've been given. I don't know what your doubt might be from time to time. That's one thing that we sometimes kind of mention, and because we know it's a reality in many hearts. Is this really what we need to be doing with all this money? When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus said, to who? To the doubters and the worshipers. He didn't just select out the cream of the crop. Those that only the worshipers know. He called all of them to serve him. To serve this world with the truth of the gospel. So to the doubters and to the worshipers, he said, "All power in heaven, all power on earth is mine. I am all authority. Go ye therefore, because you will answer to no one else but me. Now you go and do what I'm fixing to tell you. You take the gospel to all nations. You teach. You make disciples. You baptize them. And you teach them the rest of everything I've taught you. And you do it unto the end of the world." It is by faith that we please God, Hebrews says. And without faith, faith and worship are hand in hand. Without faith, we cannot please the Lord. So, speaking earlier with someone, talking about the difference in hearing much of the Word of God and being encouraged just to bow our hearts to it, which is living by faith, believing what God has said, yes, showing up at a place if we need to show up at a place, showing up at a certain time, being dependable. That's part of living by faith, because there is a body that functions together and we coordinate our life with that body so that we can serve and bless and be encouraged and help each other be encouraged in Christ. So being dependable is part of living by faith. It's part of honoring God first and honoring our brethren. When they asked Jesus what is the most important commandment, remember His answer? You'll love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you love your neighbor as yourself. So your brethren are totally tied to your serving and worshiping God. You can't separate it. Jesus wouldn't let it be separated. We show our love for the Lord by loving each other with the Word of God, with our service, our whatever, to help each other look to the Lord and grow together as a body. And that's why it's so difficult when we separate ourselves into different groups. And yes, we have classes and all that works. But when we actually divide the body and we don't know each other and we don't serve each other, what have we done? The legs laying over here and the arms over there and the... What's that? It's not a body. It's hideous in the eyes of the Lord. Because He unites us to serve Him by serving each other. And God help us learn how to do that in all kinds of ways. Practical ways, but loving ways, where Christ is exalted. So these men, they were obedient. They were dependable in many sense and in great sense. But yet some of them came worshiping and some of them came doubting. And God wants to eliminate these doubts that hinder the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to Him. So, as we think of what He told them to do, based upon Him being all authority, He says, you go and you teach all nations. We thought, I'm sure it was mentioned this morning in the message, when you think of teaching all nations, wow, what a thought. I know there's radio, there's internet, there's TV, and there's more means of communication to the entire planet than ever. Satellites everywhere. But there's still so many. I don't know what the percentage would be, but it's great that don't have access to any of that. And there's nothing like a personal witness. So how many people is it going to take to go to all the nations? And we know within the nations there's different language groups and different cultural groups and that don't mix and mingle, and these ethnic. Yes, sir. I don't know why I can't say that anymore. But ethnicists. Yeah, etnias. Portuguese. But all of these groups, people groups, that don't intermingle, you have to target them. It's just like here in town. Who is your target? Well, yes. But that's a pretty big target. That's a shotgun target, isn't it? Who are you praying for? Who are you asking God to give you opportunity to sit with and share your faith in Christ Jesus? You know, you have to have a real name to do that. Put a name on your target. A missionary has to know who he's going to. He has to learn their language. Who are you going to? Okay, you're going to send us back to Portugal. Thank you. Thank you. You're going to send the Browns back to Madagascar. They would say, thank you. Who are you going to? What is their name? Don't let Satan rob that from you. We are therefore the ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. Who are you going to? Yeah, the lost. Amen. What's his name? What's her name? Who are you praying for? Okay, if you're not, if you can't put an honest name on that, then say, Lord, forgive me and help me to love you and worship you and reach out and do what you told me to do. Help me love someone for you. It could be a young person, an old. God loves every one of them. He doesn't want any of them to go to hell, but that all should come unto repentance. So go, every one of us, go and give the gospel. However we can. If we're in a wheelchair, if we can't get out, maybe there's someone I could invite over. I don't know. Whatever our life may be, there's a way. If we love Christ, if we're wanting to worship Him and honor Him, there's a way to communicate the faith that we have in our heart with somebody. God will make it happen because it matters more to Him than to any of us. He wants them to be saved. He wants to use you. He has demanded in using you. It's a blessed privilege and it is a huge responsibility. If you are the new creature in Christ Jesus, if you are born again, then you are His ambassador to beseech this world. And you do it one at a time. I would love to be able to preach to thousands, so I don't have that opportunity. I do get to talk to one guy or lady at a time. And then when those come, they have about 29 or 30 today in the service there in Porto Alegre. And Dan was able to preach to all of them. We have that blessed privilege. But they're mostly saved, and we're giving them, nurturing them in the Word of God to help them grow and encouraging them to reach out to their friends and their family. And they're doing it, many of them. Who is your target? God, give me a target. Give me someone to love and share my faith with. And then after they make their decision, however long that takes, give me somebody else. Yeah. So these men were faithful. They came. They showed up. Some of them worshipped. Some of them doubted. And the Lord says to all of them, now you go and you take the gospel to the rest of the planet. To every creature, Mark says. Every person. Am I doing that? Are you doing that? If we do that, if we love people for Christ, the programs, the fads that come and go won't matter. We will rejoice that another sheep has come into the fold. We will rejoice that that person's name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We will be happy that we belong to the Lord together. And the joy of the Lord will be our strength. And we will unite our hearts in the Word of God and in loving others for Him. The Great Commission is yours and it is mine. Wherever God has you, wherever God has me, He intends for us to share a true faith in a living Lord who died for us and rose again. And He will take that because it's His work through us. He will take that as we love others for Him and do much with it, because it matters more to Him than to any of us. This is His will. Walk ye in it. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Stand with me if you would.